From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Gorgeous day out there. I believe it's going to be raining later and then pretty much through Easter Sunday. So just get ready for that. Enjoy the sunshine today. This is sort of like the old Johnny Carson show. We're mixing friends here. We have Janelle, who's in every Thursday at 3. We have Chef Cliff from Capital Grill, who brought us not just burgers, but Wagyu burgers.
Oh. Yep. We don't mess around.
Only the best for Kevin Wheeler.
Only
the best.
Let's, I can't. I might not talk much in this segment.
Yeah, you're going to eat it now, right?
No, I'm going to eat it in a little bit. I got to eat dinner before I have baseball tonight, so that's going to be that.
Okay.
But, I don't know.
But then you
I'm
can't give
back.
Me a bite because I gave mine to Sue Thomas.
You can come over here and take what you want. It's your show.
Nice. Can you put that in writing, please? Chef, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you been?
Been good. Was in the other night. It's fabulous as always.
Right.
You were just finishing the Wagyu and Wine promotion?
We just wrapped up Wagyu and Wine. Usually it'll probably come back in the fall, so, you know, keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah.
It'll probably come back for sure. So we usually pair three different kinds of Wagyu burgers with three different kinds of wines. So,
do you find that the Wagyu burgers are just as different as a Wagyu steak?
I would say yes. It's definitely more flavorful, definitely a lot juicier. They're amazing.
What is, like, when you go to the grocery store and it says Angus U.S. choice, like, is that pretty good, or do you guys have like some secret stash that you get from Antarctica or something?
No, so in the United States, it's pretty simple. You pretty much have USDA choice, you have USDA prime, and then you have a couple things like underneath that. But then once you go to Japan and you talk about Wagyu, their grading system is C, B, D, A, and then it's numbered. So their grading system is way more dramatic and way more severe than ours.
So, like, if in Japan they were to look at our prime, would they just scoff?
They would laugh at it for sure, yes. And it's like this, the different kinds of beef that they have, it's actually like special cows.
Hmm.
And they discovered this like in the early 1900s. And just the marbling, and because they actually didn't eat beef up until like the late 1800s, early 1900s, and these cows were like sacred, and the way that they take care of their beef is just nothing we've ever seen in the United States before.
That's really interesting, isn't it? They're like, these things are sacred. We're going to treat them really well. And then they tasted them. They're like, hey,
that's pretty good.
That massage cow's pretty good. Janelle, how are you? What's new with you?
No, actually, those are not allowed to be exported since about mid-90s. They made it a national treasure. So
those special ones.
Exactly, so that nobody can try to, you know, mix. So, like, same thing, if you have Americanized Wagyu, it's not actual 100% Japanese Wagyu.
Yeah.
It's an Angus cow mixed with a Japanese cow.
Yeah.
Because for about 20-ish years, they did import them. But then in the mid-90s, they cut it off, so nobody could try to say that it was
Wheels, could
Japanese
you give
Wagyu.
Janelle your mic? Her mic's dead.
Yeah, I didn't think it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having issues. I apologize.
You just have to switch seats with me because it won't reach over there. Oh,
just sit on his lap. He'll like that.
There we go. Now, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What are we talking about today? What have you seen or what are you about to see?
Well, actually, this week I saw The Accountant 2, and which comes out next week, and Sinners, which I hear Kevin is really excited to
hear
about.
I don't know that one.
Sinners, the Michael B. Jordan, Ryan Coogler. So Ryan Coogler has been teaming up with Michael B. Jordan for a hot bit now, like Black Panther, Creed. It's becoming like a Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio kind of thing, which has worked out well for the two of them. And it's a really good movie. It's a vampire movie, but it's much more than that. So much in depth, but it's not a typical vampire movie. So no, you're not going to get. It's not like Blade. It's not like Nosferatu. It is unique. Ryan Coogler does a great job of like spirituality, ancestral kind of stuff, and plus you add in Michael B. Jordan. And
so is it more action-y?
At a certain point, yes. Yeah, it is, towards the second half of the movie, yeah. But the beginning is very much just setting up. It's taking place, I believe it was 1936 in Mississippi, so you have African-Americans down there making a juke joint and wanting to cash in on it, and then they come across some lovely vampires.
Nice. Who else is in it? Anyone of note?
You're going to ask me. I don't know names.
No one stands out?
No, I mean, like, you'll recognize faces. The one lady from... Did you watch Loki? Okay, the one TVA agent, African-American lady. She's in it. I can't think of her name. And there are some faces that you would probably recognize. But yeah, no, great movie. And The Accountant 2. The Accountant 2, even though it's next week, but nobody said I couldn't talk about it, right?
No, no.
Was what I wanted to be, like, what I wanted a working man to be. So I finally got my action movie. Like, my non-thinking, great John Bernthal, Ben Affleck action movie.
I started The Accountant a couple months ago, and I didn't finish it. So was that a mistake?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think the second one was even better. I like the second one better than I like the first one.
Good.
Much more action. Again, a big John Bernthal fan. Do you watch Daredevil? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Big fan.
What's coming up that you're looking forward to?
Let's see. At the end of the month, I think we have Mission Impossible. Or at the end of next month. It's still April. I'm already like, what's... Oh, gosh. We got Thunderbolts, I guess, in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping they kind of start to... lead us down a path of whatever they're wanting to do for Doomsday and Secret Wars.
When do you expect those out?
Doomsday and Secret Wars?
Yeah.
I think those are next year. Yeah, like two of them are next year. Like one's early and one's late.
Okay.
So yeah, Thunderbolts is coming up. And then towards the end of May is Mission Impossible, I believe. I think the last week of May. And then it starts kind of really rolling. You got like F1 coming out with Brad Pitt and all that good stuff.
Has the Marvel Universe stayed pretty true to the comic books?
No. No, and that's kind of been the problem. Well, it is after Endgame, it was like, we're going to get a whole bunch of directors and writers, and we're going to brag about the fact that none of them have ever read the comics. And that if you're making a comic book movie, who are you appealing to?
Yeah.
You know, you have your core audience there, and you're like, well, you know all that stuff that you've read about and you enjoy and you've wanted to see on screen for a whole bunch. No, we're just going to kind of do away with all that and make something that's not true to it. And that's the reason it started to fall off.
Yeah. That seems like a really, really dumb decision.
It's the same thing of what they're doing. I don't know if it's Disney's problem or just big franchises in general. Because like you have the same problem with Star Wars. You have all this reference material out there. Tons and tons of books and graphic novels and comics. And they want to come up with their own original stories. And everybody's like, but no, because if I'm a Star Wars fan, I'm wanting to see stuff that I recognize. So
has Star Wars, this is going to probably get me laughed at, but has Star Wars been a big financial success for Disney?
I don't think it's hurt it, but I don't think it's, I think you're seeing things like Marvel and Star Wars and people, again, fans are starting to fall off from it because there's so much crap being put out instead of like really good. And so people are just kind of like hesitant to like jump for a movie.
So the Disney brand hasn't been good for the franchise.
They're wanting to put so much stuff on streaming now that they're like oversaturating the market again with stuff, again, their original ideas. I don't know if it's just Disney-fied or just the people they're hiring and screenwriters that aren't doing the brand any good.
Gotcha. Cliff, back to you. Easter Sunday, big day for you guys, obviously.
Easter Sunday is a big day. We do brunch on Easter and on Mother's Day. So we got a handful. We got a lobster frittata. You got 2 3-ounce lobster tails on there with a nice lobster frittata with cheddar hash browns and 8-ounce filet with an egg. So there's a couple different brunch options for $55. So yeah, we definitely still have some room available, and same thing for Mother's Day coming up. So.
Yeah, what else you got going on this summer? Anything? Any big events?
Generous Pour, obviously.
Yeah,
can't forget about Generous Pour. Pretty good lineup. right now. There's Jason on there. Rumbauer's on there. We have a couple exclusive things to Capital Grille from Orange Swift. So a nice portfolio of wines it's going to be. And that's beginning of or end of June to the beginning of September. So Generous Pour is definitely...
That's when you want to Uber to.
That's definitely when you want to Uber to. Yeah. And that's one you definitely don't want to miss is Generous Pour for sure.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. DGS KMOX.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Pretty day out there. Janelle is with us, and I think your mic works now.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey. I don't know.
So everything you just said, can you just repeat all that stuff?
We discovered that Kevin turns his mic down really low.
No, I don't do that. Rachel does that.
Rachel does that.
Yeah, because I don't have any voice modulation capabilities.
But he turns his headphones crazy high.
Yeah.
To keep himself from talking too loud.
From talking even louder. But it wouldn't necessarily be louder. It would just hurt my voice.
I'm sure it wouldn't take much for him to start screaming.
It doesn't.
No. I'm not much of a screamer, though.
Do you just elevate?
Really?
You just get
I'm
high?
A yeller, but I'm not a screamer. There's a difference to me.
Pitch.
Well, yeah.
You're talking about pitch.
Yeah. No, I just mean like the intensity of
it. You just get louder.
Yeah. And angrier. Sometimes I growl.
The first part of the show, I said he was sensitive, and he's like, "No, I'm not. It's just a tiny little stimuli make me crazy." And like, and then I'm like, he screams. He's like, "No, I don't. I just raise my voice in a high pitched sound." And
yeah, well, I mean, like screaming to me is like what you see in a horror movie where somebody's like, "Ah!" I don't really do that.
We have Brad Young with us, attorney at law. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
So, my gosh, we just need to do a standing weekly hit with you because there's so much stuff to talk about. I'm not even going to frame this one much because you're going to know so much more about it. But basically, what's going on between the federal judges and the administration and this game of chicken, and I believe that you've done enough to be charged with criminal misconduct or, you know... It seems like the administration is just saying, like, yeah, whatever, do whatever you think you can do, jump when you get froggy. What do you make of all this?
Well, we are getting close to, and if you've heard pundits say we're in a constitutional crisis, that's false. We are not. But we are getting very close to the line. And here's the difference. We've got this one case with the federal judge who has said essentially that the Trump administration is in contempt. This was Judge Borisberg, has said that they're in contempt because they haven't stopped any of the deportation flights. And so he said he's going to issue contempt. Now, that could take two different tracks. One could be civil and one could be criminal. But either way, there's an obstacle. This is very complicated, but I'll make it very simple. It could either be criminal contempt or civil. Either way, it's got to go through the Justice Department, which obviously Bondi isn't going to do anything to sue the Trump administration because she's part of the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. So the court could order a special counsel. It's called a special master to be on this case. They could do that, but they couldn't hold anybody in criminal contempt because Trump could just pardon them. And Trump himself cannot be held for contempt because of the Supreme Court's immunity ruling from a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is all going up on appeal. And that's when you know we're in a constitutional crisis. If the appeals are exhausted and the Trump administration continues to violate what the court directs, even when all the appeals have been exhausted, that is a constitutional crisis.
And Brad, what are the possible ways out of a constitutional crisis?
Well, there's several ways. First of all, the courts could agree. We saw the Supreme Court rule just last week that this 1798 Aliens Act, that Trump can use that to deport people, but they still have to have due process. And so if the court continues to agree with him that he can deport these folks as long as they have due process, then at that point, there is no crisis. The courts agree with him.
And what seems to be the likelihood of that, knowing the makeup of the court?
I think the likelihood is high because we've already seen them rule that this act is fine. It can be used. But if there's a full-fledged hearing, that is all going to circle around one word. Isn't it funny? We saw in the 90s with Bill Clinton, what does the word is mean, mm-hmm. right? So here, what does the word invasion mean? And that's under that 1798 law that has to exist for Trump to take these actions. The court hasn't dealt with that issue, but that will be the focal point. And so if you want to see about ways out of it, there's lots of ways out of it. Courts could agree with him. Courts could agree that there's an invasion. Or on the flip side, he could agree to stop these if the courts disagree. But I'm looking at that point where it truly becomes a constitutional crisis. But that doesn't occur until all appeals are exhausted.
So let's talk about the Harvard thing. Many, many universities, private universities, get federal money for, you know, in the form of grants to study disease or sociology or the government, what have you. And the Trump administration recently said, okay, you can get this money, but you have to stop any DEI and the way you hire and the way you bring in kids from foreign countries. And pretty much everyone but Harvard said, okay. And then Harvard said, nah, you can kiss our ass. And so they're missing out on $2.2 billion as we speak, and the IRS is making moves to take away their tax-exempt status. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there's two separate issues here that we need to make sure that we distinguish between. One is the giving of grants. That's one issue. And the other issue is tax-exempt status. And the tax-exempt status, I think, is fascinating from a legal standpoint, because this has actually been done before. I mean, Trump's assertion is that Harvard is violating the Supreme Court decision in Students for Fair Admissions, which was decided 2 years ago when they were discriminating against Asian Americans in the admission process. Mm-hmm. And so Trump says they're violating that Supreme Court holding, and so they're going to withhold their 501c3 status. That's been done before. Back in 1983, Dave, when you were a senior in high school, I know because that's when I was a senior in high school, but in that, at the Supreme Court then, Bob Jones University, they were discriminating about who they allowed to come in to the campus through the admissions process. Supreme Court ruled 8-1. I mean, that's a decisive win that the IRS can deny a university 501c3 status if these universities prescribe and enforce racially discriminatory admission standards. And so that's the allegation here. Of course, that would have to be proven in court, but there is a basis here for challenging Harvard's 501c3 status.
Okay, Brad, you're the best. We appreciate it every week. Thank you.
My pleasure, Dave.
I could have been Brad. If I were just smarter and more disciplined. Could have been Wheels if my muscles were bigger.
You were.
Oh, that hurt.
What, you?
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 333. We have Janelle hanging out with us for another couple of segments. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
How are things in your end of the world, my friend?
They're just fine. In fact, just got word the Evolution Festival coming back to St. Louis last weekend of September.
Yep.
And I will be there once again doing the weather for them.
Nice.
So I will see you guys on, I think it's the 26th. That
beautiful.
Friday.
Yes. I need you to sneak me in one day.
Book it early.
I'll be your assistant.
Oh, okay. I can do that. That's easy.
All you have to do is hold all these heavy books.
Yeah, I'll make you sandwiches in your trailer.
I'll have a private trailer for you.
Hey, I've heard that before. So it's gorgeous looking out the KMOX window right now. When does that change?
Right now. We had a little round of rain this morning, and that's kind of how this is going to come at us over the next several days. Comes in waves. I've always kind of used the number, it'll rain for about 5 or 6 hours, then a break for a number of hours, and then the next wave will move in. So that's what we're going to be dealing with right through Sunday evening. A very unsettled stretch. We're quite warm tonight, 66, a little bit windy. I'm going to kind of give a broad brush through the weekend, then I'm going to come back and give you some details. Friday, partly sunny, windy, and warm. A lot of dry time on Friday. Some showers and thunderstorms trying to kick into gear late Friday afternoon. I can't rule out a shower during the day, but I think a lot of dry time, up to 83 degrees, so a little bit warmer than today. Rain and thunderstorms around Friday night. Some of those could be strong to severe, 57. Saturday showers, some thunderstorms. Some of those could be strong, 64. And Easter Sunday showers and a couple of strong thunderstorms. Over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the primary focus for, I think, strong thunderstorms will be St. Louis South, 72 degrees on Sunday. So again, the details unsettled into late Sunday, periods of showers and thunderstorms, some scattered thunderstorms during the day Friday. Very limited though, I think. Best chance for severe weather short term will be Friday night with the works. Now, not everybody will see it, but there's a possibility of moderate to large hail, strong damaging winds, possible tornadoes. So the threat of tornadoes Friday night is pretty small, but there will be some heavy rain. Then periods of rain and thunderstorms, heavy rain at times, Saturday night, and Easter Sunday. Some of those storms could be strong to severe. Rain will quickly taper off early Monday morning. Rainfall amounts during this period, that's kind of hard to really fine-tune it because thunderstorms and their nature, but thinking most of us should see 2 to 3 inches of rain during the entire event. Some local amounts could exceed 4 to 5 inches. Temperatures mild to warm through Friday, a little cooler over the weekend, but nothing cold. Flood watch in effect Friday evening into Sunday evening. Small streams and creeks will rise rapidly. Highest potential for larger river flooding will be the Merrimack River Basin. So Friday night into Sunday night, stay alert on the weather, especially since it's a holiday weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. James online says, can we still ask Janelle questions? Damn it, James. Stick with the show, buddy. Yes, of course you can. He says, I don't know if you've talked about this before, but is that a tattoo of Dave on your shoulder? No,
yeah, he asked. That's not what he asked.
That's not what he asked.
Not unless he looks like Wednesday Adams. No.
Which Dave?
Yeah, it looks more like you.
Yeah, that's Dave Murray.
He says, if you put pigtails on, it's Dave Murray.
Have you talked about the Fantastic Four movie yet? Would love to get your thoughts.
The new trailer, there was a new trailer that came out today. It was really good. You get to see more of Galactus. At least the size and scope of perhaps.
Why him so small?
He not so small.
Oh, okay. I thought him could swallow a planet.
He can.
Okay.
But him still not small.
This is the worst argument we've ever had.
It's a very polite one.
I'm lost.
Dave's like, what's a Galactus?
Don't worry about it.
That's too much.
I'm not going to.
But no, yeah, it looks good. It's a period piece. It's going to be set in the 60s. I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, on another universe that the Fantastic Four has already been established. It's not this current 616 that they've been operating under. But I think it looks good because when you had the first Captain America movie, it was during the 1940s, during World War II. So I think, and that kind of worked for that. So yeah, I'm looking for it. It's very stylized, very 1960s.
Do you guys love the multiverse advent in movies, or do you find it cheating?
Well, I mean, it's in the comics, so it's not. I mean, they're just using what they've got. As long as you can tell a good story, and the movie doesn't make sense, but it's just as long as there's a good story, not cringy writing. I'm the one that liked the monkey movie.
Oh, here we go. Can't believe I didn't see it going that way.
It's gonna set him off. It's gonna set him off.
Yeah, he's gonna start screaming.
I'm not saying
as he does.
I'm not saying I did it on purpose, but yeah, no. I mean, as long as there's good writing, you've got me. It's when
I'm a little frightened right now.
Yeah, feeling a little out of your element, Dave.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dave's like, what's a monkey movie?
These two have their whole history. So, yeah, I think this is worth telling you about. So there is a movie where a pop star, a real-life pop star, played himself, but he was a monkey the entire time.
CGI monkey,
because
yeah.
he felt like he was treated like a monkey, just a performing monkey. And Wheels really took umbrage at that. And he wants to see a movie that makes sense, not a movie where someone is a monkey. And we said that he lacked whimsy.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't say that.
No, but whoever said it is right.
Yes.
I think it was Andrew.
Might have been Andrew. Andrew. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I always picture
and I stand by it. Damn it.
Whimsy is like, to me, like when I picture whimsy is like somebody skipping like through
yeah,
a field.
I'm not
and
a
I'm
skipper.
Like, picture him like in a sundress yeah. skipping and I
hey,
can't do
that
it.
That makes two of us now.
Not a skipper.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about that.
More of a stomper.
What
than
color
a
is his sundress?
It's yellow and it
white.
Has,
yes.
Yeah, yellow
yes.
and white.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly
it's, well, specifically,
it.
It's white with yellow sunflowers.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh my God, we're all
hey, Rachel,
the same
why
thing.
Don't you and I just have a conversation off to the side?
This is getting a little weird.
Dave Murray's like, what's this about all the
universes?
These...
Have I entered one? I'd rather talk to these two about our Wheeler fantasies anyway.
Don't make it weird, guys.
Make it weird. Yeah. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So according to a new poll, a new survey reveals that 82% of working women say they shift their speaking style when they're on the clock. And linguistics call this, they call it code switching. And women report using more casual language in their personal lives. Slang, sarcasm, and profanity are all toned way down at work.
Don't you think everyone but us does that?
Yeah, I don't really relate to this survey much because of my job.
Yeah.
It's fine to use slang. It's not fine to use profanity.
Well, not in the studio, on the air, but.
But I don't know. I would be just interested to hear from people. 82% of working women said that they change their tone.
So now do you code switch?
Yeah, I think you guys even code switch when you have guests in. Yeah, I mean, you're not, I don't think you're, yeah, I think you're like a, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I think you're more polite.
Yeah.
yeah, sure. So that's a version of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't just act like you do at home everywhere you go.
Did you hear that, Andrew? She said you can't.
Okay, you shouldn't
you
act
can,
like
yeah.
with a T.
Okay, you can, but you shouldn't.
I feel like I have a lot of like good news stories today. We had the dog leading the toddler home to the ranch. We had the trading cards in Japan celebrating the town's elders. Now here's another one. A homeless man hit a $1 million jackpot on a scratch-off lottery ticket
Jeez.
In California. Yeah, pretty cool.
Can you imagine?
He declined to be interviewed, but the owner of the convenience store was just over the moon happy for him and said, you know, it's nice to see it go to someone who really, really needs it. So really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Bargatze scores a big-time gig. He will be hosting the Emmys this year on CBS. So that's cool.
I love Nate Bargatze. I'm not sure I see that. Like, his brand of humor is not, to me, award show humor.
Well, it'll be interesting to see because, you know, you have Nikki Glaser, who is very blue and very edgy and very like, I'm going to make fun of you. Such a celebrated awards show host this year. Interesting to see the Emmys take like a very different approach.
Yes.
Yeah, he's definitely not edgy, but he's hilarious.
And he's not big energy.
Right. That's why.
Which is what's great about it.
Because I thought the same thing you did. The host is somebody that's typically more outgoing and not that he's not outgoing. You know what I mean? They have a certain vibe. And maybe a little more polish. And his game is not polish, but that's, I think, what his appeal is. That's what I find funny and awesome about him. He's just a regular guy, but he's a hilarious regular guy.
Yes.
Did you guys see that Eli Lilly has created basically Ozempic, but in pill form? So that's sure to be a game
changer.
Let
it be rectal. Let it be rectal.
I don't think it is, Dave. Well, I mean, maybe you might have
anything can be, Rach.
That's right.
Not with that attitude.
That's what they told me in the emergency room. Anything can be.
One final story for you guys, and this one's for the nerds.
He just made a great face. I think he means there are things in his butt.
A Star Wars-like planet with an unusual orbit has been found outside of our solar system.
Let's go.
According to
That's
scientists.
Not a moon.
That's not a moon.
The exoplanet appears to take an unusual path around two brown dwarf stars, whipping around at a right angle. And brown dwarf stars are sometimes called failed stars because they're lighter than stars but heavier than gas giant planets. So this is about 120 light years away, and they're comparing it to Tatooine.
Yeah, they also found the chemical signatures to bacteria.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Which at some point would have been enough to go, there's life. But with all the conspiracy theories and such, we're going to have to find a varmint or something. Right, right. So.
And I shouldn't have said brown dwarf stars. That's not a thing. I said that wrong. It's just brown dwarfs.
No, but they're stars.
Just correcting.
Oh, because they're, yeah. Right, I get it. Oh, because they didn't qualify for star.
Yeah, they're lighter than stars.
I get it. I thought they just weren't famous enough.
I'm going to need you to lock this segment up.
Sorry. It always falls apart.
Or be able to tell us what color Wheeler sundress is. You have to choose your lane.
Edward R. Murrow, here we come.
I'm just picturing those shoulders in a sundress. I'm like, wow, that would be something to behold.
There you go.
No, see? I don't want that in my mind.
I'm gonna bring him with me to Evolution Fest.
Andrew needs to create it on ChatGPT images.
Please do.
Okay. Andy Wheeler in the sundress. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
351 DGS. So we talked to Janelle a lot about movies and entertainment, and I don't know if you guys ever have these moments. I have them a couple times a year, sort of like the same scale that a couple times a year, right before we start the show, I get really nervous, which normally I don't. And I was watching television, and it was an ad for Matlock with Kathy Bates, and it just struck me, this is just all made up. This is so weird that we do this. That she's not a lawyer. They're shooting this. They're doing multiple takes. Then they're having craft services, and we just accept it. We just like, yes, please fool us with your entertainment. And then I go back to just watching it and being a normal guy. But do you ever get those thoughts?
Yes.
Like how weird it is that we ever even started this.
Yes. Yeah. That you're entertained by people pretending to be somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. And the most successful ones are the ones who can most effectively fool us.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they're monkeys.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I swear.
I'm trying not to.
You've been screaming a lot lately.
Monkey.
You need to take it down a couple notches.
Use the promise to never bring it up.
No, it's okay.
Do you guys, anyone here watch Black Mirror?
I did a little bit, but not much. Like, I've seen, I think, a few episodes.
Black Mirror is a Netflix series, science fiction-y, tech-based, very dark, very, very good. And the new season is out, and I'm really excited. However, the reviews that I've been reading is that it, overall, the season, especially this one episode, I think it's the first episode of the season, is so dark that it's sending people into real depressions. Did that ever happen?
Is that the one with Rashida Jones?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
And Jesse Plemons. It's just Jesse Plemons in that one, too? I think.
I don't think he's in this one. He's in the Galactic, the Star Trek offshoot, which is, the first one was fantastic, and there's a follow-up in this one. But this one is something about a couple and a family, and I think babies, and it's just supposed to be so dark and ends on such a bad note that people are saying it is honestly, literally affecting their lives. Has that ever happened to you with entertainment?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really try to stay away from I told you the other day, Dave, I just watched Pulp Fiction all the way through for the first time in my life earlier this week because there's a sexual assault scene. I just try to avoid those kind of scenes as much as possible because they deeply disturb me and upset me for days afterwards. Yeah. So, art has a way of just getting under your skin and making you feel some type of way. That's why we watch it, right?
Yeah. Did that happen to you much, Janelle?
Occasionally, there's Breaking Bad really kind of weighed on you, especially if you binge it. You watch it, and it just, you never get that time away from, yeah, and you're binging it, and it's just it's such a pressing, depressing, it kind of shifts your mood a little bit.
I brought that vibe down, didn't I?
Yeah.
You can follow Janelle at Holy L-E-L-L-E anywhere online. Thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah, can I say
always?
Happy birthday to my daughter?
Of course.
Happy birthday, Madeline.
Happy birthday, Madeline.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.